Open the terminal of nearly any working software engineer in 2026, and you will find, sitting quietly on their machine, a strange little collection of tools that did not exist 10 years ago. The names are short, almost cute. RipGrep, Ruff, Uvebun, Biome. They live in a muscle memory of the people who use them, called by little three-letter shortcuts, the way an old carpenter might reach for a particular plane without quite looking. To the engineer using them, they're just tools. To anyone who steps back and looks at the whole collection, there's something else. Each of them is a replacement for an older, slower tool that the same engineer was using 5 or 6 years earlier, and each of the replacements, almost without exception, is written in a single programming language. Not the language the engineer mostly writes in. Not the language the tool was originally written in. The same language over and over underneath all of them. The language is Rust. To tell that story properly, I want to start in a small apartment in Boulder, Colorado, in the autumn of 2016. Andrew Gallant lives there, in a building near the foothills, where the snow comes early in the year and the light through the windows in the late afternoon is on a good day gold. Gallant is an engineer with a particular kind of obsession. He has been working in the evenings and on weekends for several years on the regular expression library inside Rust, a piece of code that handles the small patterns programmers use to search through text. The library is fast enough that Gallant has started to wonder what could be built on top of it. The standard tool that programmers use to search through code, a Unix program called grep that has been around since the early 1970s, is slow on large code bases. Two newer replacements exist, called Silver Searcher and the Platinum Searcher, and they are faster than grep, but Gallant thinks they are also a little inconsistent. He thinks he could do better. Late in 2016, in those evenings in his apartment, he writes a tool he calls RipGrep, and he releases it for free to the world. RipGrep is, on a typical code base, somewhere around 10 times faster than the original grep. This is Rust, gently. A patient introduction to how computers actually work and to one particular language for talking to them. I am your host. This is episode 25, The Great Rewrite. Today, I want to tell you about something that has been happening quietly in the corner of the software world where the day-to-day tools of programming actually live. Over the last decade or so, almost every piece of slow tooling that working engineers complained about has been replaced by something written in Rust, and the new tools are almost without exception, dramatically faster than the things they replaced. By the end of this episode, you will know the names of the new tools. You will know the names of the people who built them. You will understand why this particular wave of rewrites happened all at once. And you will see why the phrase rewrite it in Rust started as a joke and quietly became an industry strategy. Let me back up and explain what kind of software we're talking about. When a programmer sits down to do work, they do not write code in a vacuum. They sit inside a small forest of tools that surround them. There is the editor they type into. There is the compiler or interpreter that turns their typing into something the machine can run. There is the package manager that fetches the libraries they depend on. There is the formatter that lays out their code in a consistent shape. There is the linter that warns them when something looks suspicious. There is the search tool that lets them find a function across a million lines of code. There is the test runner that exercises their work. There's the build system that ties it all together. None of these tools is the program the engineer is ultimately writing. They're the tools the engineer uses to write that program. Like a carpenter's hammer and chisel and saw, they sit underneath the work, and the engineer interacts with them many hundreds of times a day. For most of the history of these tools, they were written in whatever language seemed convenient at the time. Many of them were written in Python or Ruby or JavaScript, the same high-level languages the engineers themselves were writing applications in. Those languages are pleasant to read, easy to extend, easy to share. They are also, for a number of fundamental reasons, slow. A Python program will, on the same work, run something like 10 or 20 or 50 times slower than the equivalent C program. For an application that runs once and does something interesting, that is fine. For a tool you run 100 times a day, every day, on growing code bases, the slowness piles up. By the middle of the 2010s, in many corners of the industry, the slowness had piled up to the point that engineers were actively unhappy with the tools they depended on. Two things had to happen for the rewrite wave to begin. The first is that a new language had to exist that was fast enough to match C, safe enough to write large programs in without crashing constantly, and pleasant enough to write that ordinary programmers would actually use it. That language, as we have been telling the story of for some episodes now, is Rust. The second is that the new language had to come with a package manager and a build system that made distributing fast standalone tools genuinely easy. Rust does. Its package manager is called Cargo, and Cargo will take a Rust program and produce a single fast binary that runs on Mac, Linux, and Windows with one command. That combination, a fast, safe language plus a frictionless way to ship the result, is what unlocked the wave. Once the conditions were right, the rewrites began. Galant's RipGrep was one of the first to get serious traction. Within a year of its release, the team behind the popular code editor VS Code had bundled RipGrep inside the editor itself, which is how VS Code's Find and Files feature got so fast. The team at GitHub running code search across the world's largest repository of public source code rebuilt their backend on top of RipGrep. Engineers everywhere quietly aliased the command grep to point at RipGrep instead, and they stopped going back. The pattern had begun. Around the same time, an engineer named Alexei Kladov, who writes online under the handle MatKlad, started a research project to build a better experience for editing Rust code inside an editor. The original tool, called the Rust Language Server, was slow and clumsy. Kladov's replacement, called Rust Analyzer, was responsive and accurate in a way the old tool had never been. By 2020, Rust Analyzer had eclipsed its predecessor entirely and become the default way to write Rust inside VS Code, Neo, Vim, Emacs, and the JetBrains family of editors. It also, in passing, taught the rest of the industry what a really good language server experience could feel like. In the JavaScript world, a different rewrite was happening. JavaScript engineers had been using a tool called Babel for years to translate modern JavaScript into older JavaScript that older browsers could understand. Babel was written in JavaScript itself, and it was slow. An engineer named Dong Yun Kong started a project called SWC, written in Rust, to replace Babel. The company called Versal, which makes the framework called Next.js, hired Kong in 2021 to work on it full-time. By the end of 2021, Next.js had switched its default compiler from Babel to SWC, and build times for large applications dropped roughly in order of magnitude. The same team, working with a man named Tobias Coppers who had written the venerable bundler called Webpack, then announced a successor to Webpack called TurboPack, also written in Rust, also faster by an enormous margin. Other corners of JavaScript saw the same pattern. A tool called Biome, the survivor of an earlier project called Rome Tools, written in Rust, replaces two older tools called ESLint and Prettier, and does both jobs faster and more reliably. A tool called Rolldown, written in Rust, replaces an older bundler called Rollup that sits at the heart of the popular build tool called Vite. The Vue.js creator, Evan Yu, is involved in shipping it. The pattern keeps repeating. The Python world has been transformed similarly, and in a particularly visible way, by a company called Astral, which exists almost entirely to rewrite Python's tooling in Rust. Their first product is a linter called Ruff, released in August of 2022 by an engineer named Charlie Marsh. Ruff replaces a handful of older Python tools, including ones called Flake 8 and Pylint and iSort. And on a typical Python codebase, it runs roughly 100 times faster than the tools it replaces. Marsh's original announcement showed Ruff linting the entire C Python source tree in under second. Their second product is a package installer called UV, released in February of 2024, which replaces the standard Python installer called pip. On large dependency resolutions, UV is somewhere between 10 and 100 times faster than the tool it replaces. By 2025, most large Python projects, including FastAPI and PyDantic and a large slice of the Django ecosystem, recommend UV in their getting started instructions. The list goes on. A tool called Tokii in Rust replaces an older tool called CLOC for counting lines of code by language. A tool called Dino, started by Ryan Dahl, the original creator of Node, in 2020, is a Rust runtime for JavaScript that fixes a long list of things Dahl regretted about his earlier work. A tool called Oxk, started by an engineer who writes online under the name Bossen in 2023, is a JavaScript parser and linter and formatter in Rust that backs several other tooling projects, including some of the experimental work happening inside Vite. A new Rust tool appears in some corner of the developer tool chain, in roughly the same shape, every few months. It is worth pausing here for a moment to notice something about the names of the people I have been telling you about. They are, almost without exception, not the names of large corporate teams. They are individuals. Andrew Gallant in a Boulder apartment. Alexei Kladov in Eastern Europe. Charlie Marsh founding Astral. Dong Yun Kong at Versal. Tobias Koppers, the original Webpack author, building its successor. Evan Yu, the creator of Vue, working on Rolldown. Bossen, working largely alone on Oxk. The great rewrite has been, in a quiet way, an enormous decentralized act of taste. A few thousand people scattered around the world, each looking at a piece of tooling that bothered them, each reaching for the same language to fix it, each shipping the result for free to the rest of the industry. That is what the wave actually is. Not a corporate strategy, a wide, distributed, almost unconscious shift in the taste of an entire profession. Pull the camera back, and the pattern is so consistent it has become a kind of meme inside the industry. Wherever there used to be a slow tool, written in a higher level language, by people who were doing their best with the languages of their time, there is now a Rust replacement, and the replacement wins on speed. And the wins are not small. They're not 5%. They're 10 times, 50 times, 100 times, in some cases more than that. The phrase rewrite it in Rust started as a joke that engineers told to each other, a teasing acknowledgement of how often the answer to a slow tool was, in fact, to rewrite it in Rust. Then the joke became a habit. Then the habit became, quietly, the default move whenever a piece of tooling needed to be faster. This matters more than it might seem at first, because the daily experience of being an engineer is, in part, an experience of waiting. Waiting for the linter to finish. Waiting for the build to complete. Waiting for the search to return. Waiting for the package install to settle. Every one of those waits, multiplied across an entire industry of millions of engineers, doing those same actions hundreds of times a day, adds up to a staggering amount of time that used to be lost and is now found. The great rewrite has not invented anything new. It has just made the old things faster by a lot. The cumulative effect on how it feels to write software has been, for the people living through it, profound. Three things to carry away from today. The first is that over the last decade, almost every piece of slow tooling that working software engineers depend on has been quietly replaced by a Rust equivalent, and the replacements are not slightly faster, but in many cases an order of magnitude or two faster than the things they replaced. The second is that this wave was not coordinated. It was 1,000 independent decisions by 1,000 different engineers, each of whom looked at a slow tool they cared about and thought, "I bet I could make this faster," and reach for the same language each time, because the same language kept turning out to give them what they needed. The third is that the cumulative effect on the daily experience of being a working engineer, on the small frictions that used to fill the day, has been quietly enormous. Next time on Rust, gently, We will go deeper into the latency story, into the corner of the industry where milliseconds matter the most. We will start in San Francisco on a particular day in September of 2022, when a small Cloudflare team watched a graph tip downward and save the company roughly 70% of the CPU it had been using to serve a fifth of the modern web. Until then, take good care of yourself. I will see you in the next one.